Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
High anxiety. In this particular case, we're talking with Herb Weisbaum does not have high anxiety. He may have some anxiety, but, you know, that's totally human. Contributing editor at checkbook.org, Consumerpedia podcast, and general friend of the John Landecker program. And one of the items tonight is the financial anxiety and about the consequences of debt. I always thought that debt and anxiety sort of went hand in hand. But apparently there's been sort of a shift in the populace and the way they approach it. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what this new survey shows, this new Harris poll that was done for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. How you doing, John?
I am fine. My anxiety level is much lower now that you're on.
Oh, it's going to be – hang tight. It's going to get worse. We're just building. So,
All right.
You know, I was fascinated by this story because, you know, we keep hearing in the news about how all the economic indicators are positive, which is true. You know, unemployment is down and people's wages are going up and inflation is mellowing out. It's not nowhere near where it used to be, et cetera. And yet people don't feel like they're making ends meet and are getting ahead. Well, that's what this survey basically showed, that, as I said, was done for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. And here's what they found about this financial anxiety that's underlying a lot of the decisions we make. So nearly one third of those surveyed said they're just getting by, which was the same percent as in last year's poll, which probably should have been better considering back then we were at like 9% inflation rate and now we're, you know, to 3% inflation rate. Only about one in three don't pay all their bills on time. That went up from 27% last year. About 6 in 10 said, quote, people like them have not benefited from the improving U.S. economy, basically what I was saying a minute ago. And almost one quarter said they felt they will never have the things they want in life because of their financial situation. So basically, this is showing that people are feeling pretty negative. They don't feel like they're benefiting from the improvement in the economy. They're never going to meet their long-term goals. And therefore, the survey has concluded that they're not really motivated for planning ahead, which is basically, John, the bottom line of this whole thing. This pervasive anxiety, which is what they called it in the report, is having a staggering number of Americans, 62%, also worrying that the government instability will harm their finances in the next 12 months. So there's all this stuff going on between the economy, the government can't get its act together, things aren't working right. And it basically has people going, throwing up their hands and going, all right, you know, there's no sense in being frugal and smart with my money and worrying about things because things are never going to get better and let's just go. Basically, as Bruce McCleary at the NFCC told me, he said, basically, they're just, let's burn down the house and we'll worry about it later. And that's a really terrible way to be when it comes to managing your money.
So they're just charging and forget it. Charge it and forget it, so to speak.
Yeah, basically they're making some fairly dramatic decisions about managing their money. They feel much more comfortable with maxing out their credit lines, and that's a significant change from where we were. And remember, even though you may be up to your credit line, your credit score is based on how much of your available credit you're using. Most experts say you should never use more than 30% of your available credit. 10% is the best, but never more than 30% because that will drag down your credit score. And as you and I have talked many times before, that can affect the whether you get a loan, how much you pay for a car loan, whether you can rent an apartment, if you need to put a big deposit when you open an account for a utility, something like that. So that kind of thing is just and here's the actual hard numbers from this Harris poll. 34%, about a third, report they were comfortable maxing out their credit cards despite the potential for an economic downturn in the next year. And one in five, 21%, said they believe that if they're going to have debt, how much they owe is irrelevant. That one's really scary.
What?
How much I owe is irrelevant. That is a drastic change in people's attitudes, which is, again, why I think this report is so eye-opening.
How much I owe is irrelevant? Yep, how can anybody come to that conclusion?
I think when you're thrown in the towel and you're living day to day and you figure no matter what you're doing, you're not getting ahead. There are a lot of people, you know, they're working at the McDonald's or Burger King or at some restaurant, and they get the hours, they don't get the hours, they get the pay, they don't get the pay. I think it's a situation where a lot of people are concerned about this sort of thing. And the numbers, you know, show overall our credit card debt is going up. The average credit card balance is going up. Here's from TransUnion. The average credit card balance in the country, ready? $6,360. That's up from $5,800 at the end of 22. And the average interest rate, as we've spoken before, this is based on the latest figures from WalletHub, 22.75%. So every $100 in an unpaid balance you have in your credit card, $22 of that is going just to pay the interest on that money that you haven't paid off the loan on. It's staggering, and that's why people just keep drowning, getting deeper and deeper in debt.
Well, you know, you mentioned people, a certain percentage, more than willing to max out their credit cards. Well, you're going to have incredible, you'll never pay it back, maxing it out.
Right. If you're the average person that are just basically paying the minimum balance and
you'll
just
never,
going along.
Right.
It'll take years. I mean, in some cases, between how much you have, we've estimated between like 7 and 11 years, sometimes even longer at this interest rate. Yeah. You're that little gerbil on the treadmill spinning.
Unbelievable.
So the bottom line here is there really is help available. And as I've told you before, I've seen cases where people have had horrendous amounts of credit card debt. And with working with a nonprofit credit counselor, that's not one of these, hey, we'll solve all your problems, just pay us money. This is a certified nonprofit credit counselor. They will work with you. They will set up a budget. They will make your financial goals. They'll create an action plan, and they will help get you back on track. Now, you can't keep using your credit cards. You can't keep spending willy-nilly. You're going to have to make some sacrifices in order to get you, you know, back down to where you need to be. But again, I've seen people with $80,000 worth of debt, and after 4 years, they were completely free. They were about to make a down payment on a house. They had that monkey off their back, and they felt so good. So if you need to find someone, help is available. The National Foundation for Credit Counseling, their website's real easy to remember, nfcc.org, National Foundation for Credit Counseling. You can talk to somebody on the phone. You can set up to meet somebody near you. They will work with you. They will make it happen. And the first consultation is usually free. So that's something you want to do. And by the way, again, that guy from the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, the Vice President of Communications, Bruce McClary, who, by the way, grew up listening to you, Mr. Landecker, and is so thrilled that I'm talking to you.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is the final quote in the story I wrote for Checkbook. Waiting for something to change or doubling down on the same destructive financial behavior is the worst thing you could possibly do. Turn the process around, get help, and do it now. That's the takeaway from this survey.
Herb Weisbaum, we're going to do more with him when we come back at 720 WGN. I've been waiting all night to play that sound, which is, of course,
that's a sound from the past.
That's a dial-up, dialing up the internet. Exactly.
Who dials up the internet?
Well, everybody did in the beginning.
Why don't you play the Five Americans? Western Union.
You've got all this news from the FCC about broadband transparency, and I thought, well, broadband, let's go back to no band.
Very funny. That's very funny.
God. Oh, my God. Well, that sort of puts it in perspective a little bit, I guess. But at any rate, broadband is one of my favorite issues. I've not here, but in some other places have voiced, been very vocal about how I feel it's the great, it levels the playing field if everybody has it in a lot of different ways. And according to you guys at shutbook.org, the FCC wants to bring some transparency to the broadband marketplace. So what does that entail?
Sure. Let me start with asking you a question, and I'm going to make it easy for you. The answer is no.
Okay.
The question is, do you really understand the bill from your cable or internet service provider, what you're paying for what and how much speed you're getting, uploads and downloads and all that kind of stuff?
Somewhat.
No.
But not
entirely.
Oh, come on.
Well, somewhat. Okay. Okay. Well, a lot of people, most people I dare say, yours truly included, have no real idea of everything that is being paid for their internet service providers. It's always been difficult to sort out the fees and the charges and the taxes and the rentals and all that kind of stuff. And I got to be honest with you, the low prices pitched in the ads are never what you wind up paying each month after all the fees and taxes are included. I mean, the prices they quote in the ads are not what you're going to wind up paying. So the Federal Communications Commission rule that took effect on April the 10th says that the ISPs have to use a standardized broadband fax label, and it's very similar. If you see the picture in the checkbook story, it's very similar to the nutrition fax label. So it's what we've all been seeing for decades now on our food packages, designed to know right where to look if you want calories or sodium content or sugar. This way, all the broadband services will use this at the point of sale, either in person when you go into a store or when you're shopping online, and maybe want to see what you're getting or compare if you are lucky enough to live in a city that has, or a community that has, more than one broadband internet service provider. Many people, it's only a monopoly situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll be able to see exactly what they're charging you for, what you're getting, and maybe you'll find mistakes, or maybe you'll find that, well, I was promised a different speed, or I'm not getting that speed, or whatever. So it's a way to bring finally some transparency to this high-tech area where people are paying a fair amount of money every month for this ISP service, their internet service provider, and they're going to get some way of actually knowing what's going on, and it'll be clear when they go to shop for this service again. The consumer advocates who were supporting this did not get one thing they wanted, and they're hoping the FCC will listen to future comments and maybe change that. They wanted this label, John, to not only be at the point of sale, they wanted to have this link to your account. So if you go online to pay your bill or do something, you can look and find out everything, what you're really paying for. This use the same nutrition label or maybe have it included with the bills. The ISPs fought this. They fought this regulation. This has been 8 or more years in the making. They fought this, and the FCC went along with them, but they're hoping, because that way, if you already have it created, why not just link it to somebody's account and make it really easy to look at that kind of thing? But the rule does not include this. But it's certainly a start in the right direction, and I think it might make it a little bit easier for people to know what they're getting. And again, if there's two offers in your community or three, you got a couple of carriers to choose from, you'll be able to look at it and decide who's really giving you the best idea. The one key thing it has to do, John, as you see, it spells out, you know, it starts out with the price, the most important stuff, and that's and that's in bold, just like where it has calories on the nutritional label. And then the really good thing is, the first thing is, this monthly price is an introductory rate, yes or no. So it's going to let you know right away that that rate's going to change. So you got some kind of promotional rate. And then it's going to tell you when the rate goes up, how long that applies for, 6 months, 8 months, 12 months. And then the monthly price after that introductory rate goes away. So you're going to know, and if you have to sign a contract, how long is that contract? And then it's going to take you to the contract. Then after that are all kinds of fees that are listed on this thing. Any discounts that might be available that you're not aware of, you can actually click on a link, and it will tell you all the discounts that may apply to you, or if you bundle your account with other services, how much money you'll spend, the speed, and then how much data is included with your service, something you should always know, and then a way to get customer support and that kind of thing. So it's very straightforward. It really is very, very consumer-friendly and very easy to use.
You mentioned, you know, people having, living in an area where they have more than one internet provider. I'm not aware of those areas. And that makes it sort of a monopoly situation. I mean, and there's no real wiggle room because there's no competition. I mean, if you had two services and they could compete with one another, then that would be healthy for the consumer. But I don't think I don't think most places have that.
Well, where I live here in Seattle, I have Comcast for one. I have the telephone company that provides a fiber service, a broadband service. Some of the cell phone companies like T-Mobile, you can get this thing and do the 5G and get broadband service that way. So that is starting. Technology is going to make it easier to have competition if you don't have to lay cables, and you can use the 5G, and that's it was supposed to do. But that's going to help a great deal.
We're running out of time here. Does that 5G stuff work? I mean, is that up to speed? No pun intended.
If you're in an area where you have good coverage, absolutely. If you're in places where you can, where it works, and you're, you know, good near a tower, and you can put that that thing in the right place, the antenna that's going to get you the 5G for your Wi-Fi. There are people very, very happy with that service. Yes. And if not, then you cancel right away and you get your money back from the company. You know, that
okay,
kind of,
what's
it's
the
not
podcast?
Like a major commitment.
What's your podcast that everybody should listen to?
Podcast right now, it's out, is Using Your Cell Phone Abroad. We can talk about that next time, how you can save all kinds of money when you leave the country with your cell phone.
Okay, very good. And where do we find all that?
That's at consumerpedia.org, and my stories are all on checkbook.org. And if you go to consumerman.com, as your listeners do, John, and write me, John just said this, I will write back and answer all your questions, and you can sign up for my weekly newsletter. It's free, consumerman.com.
All right, Herb, thank you so much. Look forward to talking to you real soon.
Be well, John.
You too. That's Herb Weissbaum, the Consumer Man.